All right. Just another welcome to Westside this morning. Today is super special, and I am very thrilled and excited that you're here to participate and engage with this Next Gen Sunday. Again, it looks a little different. A typical service has different elements on a Sunday to Sunday. So if you're brand new here, first time at church, we just welcome you. And today we have a panel, which we don't have every week. And then I'm going to follow up the panel with a small Bible reflection and devotion. But I'm excited to have this lovely crew next to me today. And what we wanted to do on Next Gen Sunday is highlight stories. And each person here, we have Scott, Madison, and Justine, they work and volunteer and serve the next generation. So I'm just going to have them introduce themselves a little bit. And
About 2 years ago, and we've been coming to Westside for almost 2 years. We have a young son, so this is my first official Father's Day. So that's exciting. And in terms of work, I work in IT. So in the past, in church settings, it's, hey, Scott, you're the tech guy, you're in charge of the website, you're in charge of, you know, anything that plugs into the power outlets, because it's probably what you do. And when I came to Westside, when my wife and I were looking for a new church, I said, that's not what I want to do. I do that for work. I enjoy doing that for work, but it's not what I want to do outside of work. And I've always had a passion connecting with children, with the younger generation. So I've been leading in Upstreet for about a year. It's the grade 1 to 5 program, for those that don't know. And I think just a big part of what led me there, I grew up in a family of teachers. Both my parents are teachers, and both my grandfathers are teachers. And especially my dad and my opa, they just always had time for kids. Didn't matter how old, how young. They just always had time for them, and they'd sit on the floor and play with them. My opa would take me to work with him, and I'd pass him a hammer, and he'd pay me $20. And I just wanted to be able to sort of pass that on to the next generation as well, and just be able to share some of those experiences and lessons that I learned as well.
Thanks, Scott.
Hi, everyone. My name is Madison. I've been in Hamilton since 2018. I went to McMaster for engineering, so that's what brought me to the area, in case anyone hasn't had the opportunity to ask. I'm originally from BC, so I got that question a lot. I've been at Westside since my second Sunday in Hamilton, because back then it was a Fellowship Baptist church, and I used to go to a Fellowship Baptist church, so I found it online, and I'm like, I know I need a church. I'm going to plug in as soon as I get there. And it's been such a blessing because I've been able to both volunteer with the kids as well as the youth since April 2023. And sort of the fork in the road moment that brought me into volunteering with youth, it was no like big exciting moment. It was someone who I'd been in a life group with in the past, Rob, asked if I was interested because one of the female leaders was taking a step back due to other like family circumstances. They were having their own kid. And they needed another leader, so I kind of hedged a little bit and was like, well, can I try it and then make a decision? And to be honest, like, I just fell in love with the atmosphere, and like being with the girls has been such a blessing to myself as well, because growing up, youth was such a big part of my life. I would say I probably made my faith my own because of youth group, as opposed to just following along because that's what my parents did. Like, I went to church on Sunday because my parents did. But youth group really solidified that for me and helped me to take that step and to carry that forward into university. And just getting to give back and be a part of other young people's lives is such a blessing, such an honor, such a privilege. It's just been a really good opportunity to work with people who are closer to my age. Like, I remember as a kid, I really enjoyed having people who were like early 20s as role models versus, I don't know, sometimes you're like, mom and dad, like, you don't understand the problems anymore. So just getting that experience with the girls has been such a major blessing for myself. And I don't know, I hope if I can make even a little bit of difference to someone, like, absolutely, it's 100% worth it.
Thanks, Madison.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Justine. You might have seen me up here for hosting, but today I'm here to talk a little bit about the volunteering that I get to do with our young adults here at Westside. So a little bit about myself. I work as a director of events at a think tank. If you want to know what a think tank is, you can ask me, but prepare for like a half hour conversation because it's hard to explain. But outside of work, my hobbies, I realize, are like very like 80-year-old lady-ish. Like, I like to do embroidery. I love to read. I'm really into jigsaw puzzles right now, which is like not helpful to admit with the young adults. I consider myself like young adult adjacent, but like it's been a running joke since I started that like I am definitely older than them, and I quickly find that out when I bring up things like, apparently people don't listen to the radio anymore.
I do.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you to all of you. Okay. Thank you so much. So, yeah, it's just been a real blessing to serve there. It's interesting, with the question of the fork in the road to start serving, I don't remember a specific time when I was, where it was like, you're now serving in this. It's just sort of an area that I'm passionate about and have sort of like, I feel like I just sort of integrated myself in. I once sent Zach like this page long of like strategies I thought we could like engage, and he's like, here we go, you're helping now. But yeah, the reason that I'm so passionate about it and serve in that area is just, I just think that young adults, that age range is such a critical time in someone's life, just in terms of deciding what's next for them, career-wise, what faith looks like for them. A lot of them have started like either living on their own or going off to school, or they're starting new jobs, or they're just in really new environments. So just being able to walk alongside them as they're starting to consider, how do I live as a Christian? How do I wrestle with my faith in this setting? I know for myself too, I went to Redeemer University. I came to Hamilton in 2010, but Westside, I think it's only been like about two and a half years now. But when I went off to school, that was a time for me to, like what you said, Madison, of deciding, is this faith something that I believe in? Where for so long it was my parents saying, this is something you believe in, or like, you're going to be involved in this, you're going to youth group. And then when I went off to school, it was a time for me to decide. And I feel so fortunate, having gone to Redeemer, having people surrounding me that believed so wholeheartedly and were so passionate about it. And I know some of the young adults have heard me say this before, but I remember being in that stage and thinking, I want to know God more. Where I couldn't even say I was at that point where I wanted God yet, but I saw so many people that believed in it and were living for it, and I was like, I want that. So being surrounded by people who acted that way, lived that way, thought that way, talked that way, was so important for me. So being able to serve in that way here has been a real blessing. I'm also learning all the hip slangs. I don't think people say hip slangs anymore, but I'm learning. I'm learning how the young adults live, and it's helping keep me young, I think.
Yeah, I can second that. Being in youth ministry, just, yeah, always learning each week. You guys are awesome. But yeah, before I get to the next question, yeah, I just want to acknowledge, I journey with these three in a life group every week. Yeah, and it's been so awesome to see them grow and get to know them on a deeper level. As you've noticed, a few, like Scott and Justine, have been here only a couple of years, and Madison a little longer, and I've just seen Scott's heart, not only for his son and the legacy he wants to leave for his son, but for the kids. And Lauren and other parents have shared so many stories about Scott just caring for the kids, being on their level, and that's so, so important. So thank you, Scott. And Madison, I think it was out of COVID, right? No, right before COVID, 2018, you said?
Yeah, I've been here since 2018.
Yeah, but I remember, I think Madison was here like the first Sunday, maybe even before school started, and she came like every week and just was so consistent, dove right in, and has volunteered in so many roles. So I just look to Madison as such an example of somebody who puts herself out there and serves and makes herself available to God and how God will use her. And then Justine, like she said, we kind of chatted and she had some ideas. So young adults at Westside, it's kind of always existed. I myself went to McMaster 10-ish years ago. And yeah, I was a part of the church here, and a lot of the church kind of operated almost like a young adult church. And now, you know, people grow older and we have all different ranges and diversity in the people that attend Westside, and McMaster is so close. So within the last year, the leadership wanted to step out and say, let's tackle this young adult thing again. So to be able to be with Justine and some other amazing student volunteers to rethink what that looks like has been amazing. But it's so new and there's so much opportunity. So I'm really excited for the next phase of that as well. Okay, another question for the three of you. Could you share with everyone kind of like a specific ministry win or highlight, just something super special that kind of happened to you?
Yeah, so when Zach posed this question in preparation, I knew right away where I wanted to go with it. And a little bit of background is that I didn't grow up in a church that had a kids ministry. You came into the sanctuary with the congregation when you were 4 or 5 years old. And if I look back, a lot of that, sitting in those services, listening to the pastor, so much of that went over my head, except for maybe the one or two comments that the pastor would make specifically to the boys and girls. Your ears would kind of perk up and, oh, I can tune into this because it'll be understandable for me. And so when I came to Westside and I found this space to volunteer in, I wanted to make sure that it was a space that the children would feel comfortable in, that they would feel led to Jesus in their own way through that space. And I wanted parents to feel comfortable bringing their children there. It's a big thing I'm learning now to be able to, you know, drop your child off for an hour to an hour and a half and sort of trust the people, you know, to keep them alive, but then also as they get older to start to teach and instill some lessons in them. And I think one of the verses in scripture that came to mind was in Matthew 19, where it talks about letting the children come to him. And actually before that, something that gets missed is the parents actually brought the children to Jesus. These children weren't just traveling in groups by themselves and coming to Jesus of their own volition, but the parents brought them, and then the children were called to come to him. And for those, such as those will inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so that's the space that I try to create, and with the help of the other upstreet leaders. But the big win, all that to say, to get to this specific win, was on Good Friday, just gone past. And we, for those of you that don't know, we have a lesson plan and curriculum that gets put together every week with the activities that we do. And sometimes that lesson plan goes out the window and you feel, I didn't teach those kids anything today. And it's a little bit discouraging. But what happened on Good Friday was a little bit different. We watched the video lesson and we jumped into some discussion questions. And after I asked one or two questions, one of the kids put up their hand to ask a question of his own. And I can't remember his question or actually any of the questions, unfortunately. But what ended up happening was these kids, one after another, put up their hands to ask a question that was on their hearts. And they were asking questions about Jesus. They were asking questions about baptism. They were asking about what communion meant. And it was just so beautiful for me to see, hey, these kids are interested. They have a genuine curiosity now and passion for this. And they trust me enough in this space to come with that question. So I think that was just an amazing thing to see. And I think that will, or I hope that that will serve them well also in their future as they grow up to be some of these kids' ages that we've seen now and be able to also be on stage, be hosting, contribute in all those ways in the future as well.
Yeah, so when Zach posed this question, I thought about it. And the first question, obviously no problem. I hope by now I know who I am. The second question, fairly easy. The third question, for me, I had to sit and think about it. I had to pray about it a little bit because there has been so many little moments, and I'm sure parents can relate to this. As your kids grow up, each day you don't really notice the changes so much. And then you look back at old photos and you're like, oh my goodness, look how far we've come. And I don't have kids of my own, but I've seen that with my like nieces, and now I've gotten to see it with these youth. And I've only been here for a little bit over a year, started end of last year, and then came back for this school year. But the moment that actually came to mind once I'd had some time to sit and think about it was a couple of weeks ago, we had the opportunity as leaders to share our own stories. So in just a little 5 minutes, quick timeline, I shared my story and some of my journey, including some of the struggles that I'd gone through. And then afterwards, we had a small group discussion, and some of the questions I got afterwards, like, really touched me, because I think as adults, we've lived our lives, we're like, it made me who I am, but we move on, and we don't always talk about the hard things. And I think in life, we often try to show people the highlight reel. If you've ever looked at social media, you see the vacation, you see the new house, you see the new car, you see the filtered photos. And to have that opportunity to be authentic and to be honest and to open discussions about really challenging topics that our young people face today helped me realize that, yes, I might have gone through this, and the Lord can still use these circumstances. Like, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and he will make your path straight. And he gave me the opportunity to share that and to use some of the things that I've gone through to support other people, which for me, that's something that was a huge part of me growing up. So to be able to pass that along and to be authentic and build relationships, not on the I'm older, like, I don't have everything put together. And I think it deepened relationships with a lot of the girls, and that's, I see them all sitting in the front row, and it like warms my heart, because I was in your shoes not that long ago. And I just wanna say that I'm so proud of all of you, and it's been such an honor to get to know you all over the past year and see you grow. And just know that, yes, I'm the one who comes to youth and leads discussions a lot of the time, but I go home and I think about you guys, and you guys have helped me grow too, so I wanna say a big thank you to you. And I love spending time with you guys, and I really look forward to my Mondays. Like, it's my highlight of my week. If people are like, oh, do you wanna do anything? I'm like, absolutely not on Monday. I'm going to see my girls, because you guys always put a smile on my face, so thank you.
It's funny that you say, Madison, that the first question was easy for you. I feel like I struggled more with, like, who am I versus why do I serve in young adults? but yeah, for this one, a highlight for me looking back, I've been more integrated. It's probably been about like 6 months that I've been more integrated into the young adult serving. And the one that really stood out to me was the worship night that we were able to put on. We had some of our young adults come and say, this is something that we'd like to do. Like, is there a way that we can do a worship night with the young adults? And we had meetings together for weeks leading up to it. It's funny. We teamed up a little on Zach on some of the song choices. Some of them reminded me that I was born before most of these songs were written. Like, but it was a really like interesting time planning, because to be honest, we didn't know who would come, how many would come, if people would come, what that would look like, because we'd been working on trying to like build it up a little bit more and do some outreach. So we were like mentally preparing for like, we might have 5 people, we might have 20 people, maybe it would get bigger, that would be amazing. But that night that we hosted it, we ended up having almost 50 people coming to the worship night. And as we were standing there welcoming people, getting to know them, asking like, had they been here before? I would say like, honestly, it felt like close to half the people had not been to Westside before. This was our first time integrating. And it was just a really fun night of like getting to know one another, having pizza, playing games, and just worshiping the Lord together. So that one really stands out. But I also did want to highlight, one of the things I love most about serving in the young adults isn't like these big moments, big events that we put on, but just like the conversations that you get to have with people. A lot of the young adults maybe don't have cars, so I'll sometimes drive them to the different activities that we're doing, and just getting to like chat with a couple of us in a vehicle about like things that they're going through, life decisions that they have, things that they're wrestling with. Those are the ones that really stand out to me the most, and why I really enjoy serving in this way, and just getting to know them as people and their stories. So yeah, I'll just make a plug. If anyone does want to help with young adults, you should come out. It honestly is such a good time. I'll try to like protect you if you're older or young adult adjacent. but it is a really great opportunity to get to know the young adults that come to our church here.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everyone. That's it. Thank you so much for sharing. Can we have a round of applause? Mm-hmm. Okay, so My name is Zach, and I'm on staff here. I have the privilege to be the ministry director, and I do a handful of things, and kind of the focus of my role at the moment is with youth and young adults. So being able to host this service and coordinate and organize it has been super special to me, and to see so much that went into it and everybody's contributions has been really special. It's also my, I'm joining Scott. Our kids are 2 months apart. So today is my first Father's Day as well. I have a quick family photo. So this is my wife Danielle and my daughter Juniper. She will turn 1 year old at the end of this month. So we're really looking forward to celebrating that very, very soon. Today's Father's Day. It's Father's Day. It's Next Gen Sunday. So I wanted to share with you, with the remaining time that we have, I wanted to open up a piece of scripture that really focuses on the relationship between Jesus and his Father. It's found in John 5, and how we can follow this particular example in our lives and families, and hopefully pass that on to the next generation. Before I get to that, I just wanted to hit this core value of ours. We have, I think, 6 or 7, maybe 8 core values at the church, and one of them is for the next generation, and specifically to be a church that leads and reaches the next generation for Jesus. So if you are a Christian in the room, if you call yourself a Jesus follower, I kind of propose this challenge to you today. That as we pursue Jesus in our own personal walks, we must not neglect the important work of inspiring and instructing the next generation, making sure we are investing the truths of the gospel in them. That's super important to Westside as a church. And I believe this for me personally, and maybe for yourselves as well, is that I needed someone in front of me to inspire me, to instruct me so I could run my race well, like the race of life, really well. So if you believe that and resonate with that as well, that we need someone in front of us, we all do, to inspire us, instruct us, so we can run the race of life well. A quick example of Paul in scripture, Paul and Timothy, that's a perfect model of this actually happening when Paul says to follow me as I follow Jesus. So, 3 key reasons why this is so important to inspire and instruct the next generation. So, reason number one, the church needs it. So, we can't be indifferent about our personal investment in the lives of people, specifically young people, if we care about telling others about Jesus. So I'm going to read that again. We can't be indifferent about our personal investment in the lives of people if we care about telling others about Jesus. So they go together. And it's so easy for us to individualize our faith instead of investing in others. And what I'm emphasizing today is the next generation, those that are younger than us. And a quick example of to showcase this is, if you didn't know, Starbucks, maybe 10 to 15 years ago, almost went bankrupt. They lost like $7 million of yearly sales. Stores were closing. Their stocks dropped by 50%. And this was at a time when there was a transition of leadership, I think. And then the very next year, they rehired back their CEO. And within that year, they gained a profit of $150 million in revenue. And you might be thinking, what happened at Starbucks? Did they discount their drinks, incentivize people to go there because it's cheaper? No, they didn't do that. Did they create fancy new products? They always have new things. Whether it was making cheaper drinks or fancy products, those were the things that didn't save Starbucks. So what saved Starbucks was, while the stores were closing, they took a time to pause and to retrain their employees. So they took the time, they took what was essential to their company to function and imparted that to the next generation of workers. So the exact same thing goes for the church. The church I'm sure you are aware, in the news around the world, it's in a free fall in some regards, just like Starbucks was. And I think there's a principle here that we can hold on to, that we don't need flashy new programs. We don't need to invent. Those things are fun, but we don't need that to keep the church growing and thriving. We need to be proper stewards of passing our faith on to the next generation. If we're doing that properly, the church is okay. So that's reason number one, the church needs it. Reason number two, young people want it. Believe it or not, in my experience with ministry, I can only speak to myself, but I'm sure it's common elsewhere. There are more young people seeking out mentors than there are older people seeking out to mentor young people. So there's a need there, and young people crave asking questions and learning from people that are older than them, that have a little bit more wisdom. And so there's an opportunity for that. Reason number three, it's for your joy and God's glory to invest, to inspire and instruct the next generation. So I have this verse from 3 John chapter 1, verses 3 to 4 to kind of summarize this point. It's for your joy and God's glory. This says, "It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth." And I believe that. I believe the investment is so important. And you've heard these stories, these incredible stories of kids, youth, and young adults, volunteers investing in the lives and seeing not only the impact that they would make, but the impact that's made on them. There's so much joy, and it brings God glory. So how can we follow Jesus' example and pass on our faith to the next generation? So this is where this brings us to our passage today from John 5, verses 16 to 30. I don't know if I have time. I don't think I'll read through the whole thing. So sorry, tech team. I am going to split it up into points, so hopefully you can follow with me as best as possible. So our scripture today reveals profound truths about Jesus' relationship with his Father, providing a model for parenting and mentorship. So through this passage, we can draw 4 points on how to guide, nurture, and instill faith in the next generation for our children, youth, and young adults. So I am going to start with point number 1, which is imitation. So this is John 5, verses 19 to 20. So this says, the context for John chapter 5 is Jesus along his ministry career and the different things he's doing and traveling and doing miracles. He was performing miracles at the beginning of John chapter 5 on the Sabbath. So he was healing people on the Sabbath, and that's considered work. So the Jewish leaders were persecuting him because of that. They were calling him out on it and asking him questions. So this is Jesus' response in verse 19 and 20. "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does." So here, this imitation is happening in the scripture. So Jesus emphasizes that he acts in complete harmony with the Father, doing only what he sees the Father doing. This relationship of imitation reflects a deep bond of love and trust. And as I think of this imitation, I can't help but think of my daughter. And she, coming up to a year, there's already so many things that she's imitating. The sounds we make, the actions we do, and she's learning to walk. She's not there yet, but she has to follow us, and we have to set a model for her steps, for her actions. So that's just a powerful illustration of imitation. So we need to take this principle of imitation and set a godly example. So as parents and mentors, our actions, attitudes, and faith are under constant observation by young people. What we do and how we live profoundly influence their behavior and beliefs. We also need to live out our faith. We need to demonstrate daily acts of kindness, prayer, integrity. Your consistency in living a Christ-centered life lays down the foundation for their faith journey. And also, an aspect of imitation is involving young people. Engage children in spiritual practices, whether it's family devotions, church activities, or serving others. Let them see and participate in your walk with God. So we hope that's what this Sunday is all about. We've done them once a year for the last 3 years, but as these youth get older, there'll be more opportunities to serve each week and to imitate what it looks like to serve and follow Jesus. So point number two of how we inspire and instruct the next generation. So empowerment. So this is found in verses 22 and 23. So Jesus says, "Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father." So the key point here is the Father entrusts significant responsibility to the Son, showing a profound level of trust and honor. This relationship exemplifies how trust and responsibility are integral to spiritual growth and leadership. So just to help paint a picture for this, empowerment. So think of a craftsman teaching his apprentice. At first, the apprentice watches and learns, then gradually takes on more complex tasks under the craftsman's guidance. Eventually, the apprentice gains the trust to work independently, reflecting the skills and values of the mentor. So with this principle of empowerment, we need to empower our children, give them responsibilities to grow with their age and maturity as they develop, recognizing that and seeing those opportunities. Trust them to take on tasks, make decisions for themselves, and guiding them along the way. And we also need to honor their contributions, show respect and appreciation for their efforts and ideas, validate their contributions, whether in family discussions, church involvement, or personal achievement. So once again, we thank you guys for everything that you're doing today and how you're helping to run church, big church, if you want to call it. It's a super cool opportunity. The third point on leading, investing in the next generation is life-giving influence. So this point can be found in verses 24 to 26. Jesus continues, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." So here Jesus promises eternal life to those who believe in him. This message of hope and salvation is central to the legacy we pass on to the next generation. Another image to help illustrate this point is thinking of a gardener nurturing a young plant. Maybe it was through COVID, but through that time, I kind of became a plant person. I wasn't really a plant person before, but it all started from a good friend of mine giving me a plant she propagated, and then I looked after it, took care of it, and it grew. And she continues to send me propagations of her plants, which is awesome. I haven't spent a dime on plants. So consider a gardener nurturing a young plant. The gardener provides water, sunlight, and care, but ultimately the plant must grow and thrive on its own, drawing life from the soil. So likewise, we nurture our children's faith, but they must develop their own personal relationship with Jesus. This was also touched on in our panel, how important it is being at home and transitioning in life and maybe not having the guidance of your parents around and in living on your own and facing these challenges. So up until that point, life-giving influence, how can we give that? We need to embody and teach the gospel every single day. Share the message of Jesus's love and his promise of eternal life. Make it central, the central part of your family conversations and the conversations and teachings that happen at church. Encourage personal faith. Support your children in developing their personal faith. Encourage them to pray, read scripture, seek God's guidance in their lives. There's so many more spiritual disciplines that we can teach our kids and young people at the church, for them to invest in the relationship with God, to hear, to meditate, to hear, to listen, to practice all these things. But we have to model it first. And I believe this is my fourth and final point from this section of John 5. So verse 30, this is about unity. It says, "By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." So Jesus exemplifies total dependence on the Father's will. This unity with God's purpose is essential for guiding the next generation in their faith journey. And so my last illustration to help understand this point of unity of how we inspire and instruct the next generation. So imagine a ship navigating through a storm. The captain relies on a compass to steer safely through the turbulent waters. Similarly, our children navigate life's challenges by relying on the direction and wisdom they see in us when we seek after God. So how do we model this? With a complete and utter dependence on God. To show your reliance on God's guidance in your decisions, your challenges, and your daily life. Let your children see that seeking God's will is a priority. And unity. Unity can be wrapped up in praying together. Make prayer a regular part of your family's life. Pray for each other's needs, decisions, and spiritual growth. That is definitely an aspect that Danielle and I have a lot of room to grow in, if I'm personally honest. Praying together and modeling that and learning to pray with our daughter from a young age. So how do we listen as Jesus did to accomplish his work and enjoy his rest? Well, in John 5, verses 16 to 30, I encourage you to read the entire section throughout this week. But we see a profound example of the relationship between Jesus and his Father, marked by imitation, trust, life-giving influence, and unity. So as we celebrate Father's Day, let's commit to following this divine example in how we raise and mentor the next generation. And as a closing thought, I wanted to read from Psalm 71, verse 18. The psalmist says, "Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come." So just join me as we close our time in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Jesus and his relationship with you. Help us to reflect your love and your wisdom in our relationships with our children, our young people around us, and those that we interact with or maybe have the chance to mentor. May we lead them in faith, empower them with trust, and guide them toward a personal relationship with you. Today, I want to ask a blessing for everybody here in the room, especially fathers. And God, I ask you to strengthen them to be faithful examples of your grace on a daily basis. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.